John chapter 15. Let's all stand, please. We'll look at verse number 15 and 16. We're doing a series of messages on this subject, how to increase the increase, how to increase the increase. John chapter number 15, verse 15, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, please, your blessing upon, dear God, this message. And Lord, we're going to put some pieces together. And we're not going to rush through this. We're going to hunker down and go through it, Lord, precept by precept, principle by principle, verse by verse. And Lord, help us to understand, dear God. Lord, you have and you are the king of the increase, dear God. You sat upon the throne of the increase. But Lord, help us to understand, dear God, that there's nothing closer to your heart than the salvation of souls and the adding to the church. And so, Lord, thank you for the principles that helps us to be able to influence you through our obedience, dear God, of the scriptures, to influence you to increase the increase. May we do it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Several things that we can do, and I think that there's maybe 6-7 of these that we'll eventually cover. As far as how to increase the increase. We said last week, last Sunday night, that many times, I think, the verse where we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, where we see God use Paul to write these words, I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase, that if we're not careful, what we begin to believe is that we have no sway, no influence on the increase. But, oh, that's not our responsibility. We plant, we water, and then God gives the increase. And I did draw a line again on the platform and say, folks, listen, there's some things that are God's area. There's some things that are in our area. God's in, the God of the increase. Our responsibility is to plant and water. But that is not the only scripture that deals with the idea of fruitfulness. And sometimes we quote one verse and we get locked into something. And what we need to do is make sure that we rightly divide the word of God. Before you make a decision on anything, any subject, what you ought to do is make sure that you have all of what God says about something in front of you before you decide that you're going to form a conviction or an opinion as far as what God says. And so I wanted to challenge our church and give our church, I believe, these wonderful Bible principles that God has given us. I mean, it is the God of the increase that says, hey, let me tell you how you can get more increase out of me. Yes, I'm the God of the increase, but you can influence that. And so what we taught last Sunday night was this. If we want to increase the increase, have influence on the increase, then what we need to do is increase our sowing, increase our planting. And we gave you a sermon on that, 2 Corinthians 9:6. And this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So even though God is the God of the increase, what he says is this, I'm going to tell you how you can increase the increase. And what you'll do, here's a Bible principle I'm going to give you. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. And so one of the ways that we can increase, influence God to increase the increase is through increased sowing. So even though we are not in charge of the increase, when God sees us increase our sowing of the gospel seed, then he is willing to increase the results based on the principle of sowing sparingly, reaping sparingly, sowing bountifully, reaping bountifully. Are you with me so far? Are you following me? Okay, good. And so I would say this, a Sunday school teacher, if I have a Sunday school teacher here, and you know what? They sow bountifully. I mean, you know what? They're just not there to show up and fill 30 minutes a week. But they sow bountifully, they get out there, they visit their children, they visit their students, they're willing to get into the homes, they're willing to talk to their kids about, hey, I want you to help me to find other kids and motivate the kids, and you put the investment and time in it, your class is going to grow. Hey, Sunday school teacher, I've said this already, but let me say it again. Listen, stop blaming bus workers for the fact that you don't have many in your class. It's not just the bus worker's responsibility to go find students for you. It's your responsibility to find students for your class. It's your responsibility to go out and do some sewing. It's your responsibility to do some visiting. And so if I have a teacher here that will sew bountifully and a teacher here that's not sewing at all or sewing sparingly, then I can say based on Bible principle that God is going to increase this class more than he's going to increase this class. And so what we need to do as a church is take this to heart and say what we need to do is if we're going to see God increase Blessed Hope Baptist Church, what we all need to do is to increase the sowing of the gospel seed. Number two, I want to give you this principle tonight, and the entire service is going to revolve around this one subject. If we want to increase the increase, number one, we increase the planting or the sowing. Number two, we increase the praying. We increase the praying. Now, it's very interesting that this entire chapter, John chapter number 15, has to do with fruit bearing. In verse number 1, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. And it's talking about fruit bearing. Look at verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear how much? Much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Then if we jump down to verse number 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it. Now I'm going to give you not just the idea of prayer. I'm going to talk a little bit about prayer, but I'm going to talk to you about the specific type of prayer that affects the increase. All right, there is a way to pray that influences God to give the increase. There is a prayer promises and prayer formulas that directly influence the increase. So if I have a teacher here that sows bountifully, and one that doesn't sow at all or sows sparingly, then this class is going to increase more than this class. If I have a teacher here that is going to pray, and I mean pray biblically, I mean learn the three prayer principles I'm going to give you tonight, and they do that and get involved. You have not because ye ask not. So if I've got a sowing teacher, I'm going to have a reaping teacher. If I have a praying teacher, then I'm going to have increase rather than a teacher that doesn't sow and doesn't pray. Look right up here. I want to just challenge your heart. Please, folks, I'm it's not that I don't believe that you are, but if you're not, God help you. I mean, if you got a Sunday school class, please tell me you're praying for those kids. Please tell me you're lifting up to the throne of grace. Bus workers, please tell me that you're praying for your kids. Children's church workers, primary church workers, please tell me that you're calling out those kids' names to the throne of grace. I mean, you know what? We need to be a praying people. We've got to learn to pray. And so adding prayer or increasing our prayer has influence on the increase. Here at the end of this verse, where in the midst of this chapter that deals with fruit bearing, in verse number 16, we see at the end of the verse, and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You can't pull that out of context. You can't use it as a magic wand or a genie in the bottle type of a thing. What you have to do is interpret it within the context. As you go out to bring forth fruit, I've chosen you. I've ordained you to do it. As you are obedient in doing it, in the process of that, if you're willing to pray and ask me for anything, I will do it. And so God, listen to me, listens more carefully and listens more diligently and is more apt to answer the prayers of somebody that's involved in producing fruit and producing increase through their Christian life. Now, let me give you three things, okay? I'm going to give you all three, and then we'll touch on each one, and then we'll head to the house. Oh, this is an important subject. Prayer. Preacher, how do you increase the increase? You increase your prayer life. You increase your prayer life, but not just in time, not just in quantity, in quality. Say, what are the three qualities of prayers that influence the increase? Number one, it has to be prayer that is sincere, consistent, and believing. Prayer that is sincere, consistent, and believing. That's number one. Number two, prayer fueled by fasting. Number two, prayer fueled by fasting. So prayer that is sincere, consistent, and believing. Prayer that's fueled by fasting. And number three, prayer from a clean life. Prayer from a clean life. Now, folks, I didn't give you 45 things. I didn't give you 12 things. I didn't say, here's 10 things you're going to have to live up to in order to get prayers answered. I will tell you this. You show me a Christian that is sincere and consistent and believing in their prayer life. You show me a Christian that will at times add the fuel of fasting to their prayer life. And you show me a Christian that lifts up holy hands and has a clean life. Because we do read in Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Folks, it's not just that verse. It's all through the Bible that God, if you want to have consistent answer to prayer, you have to live a clean and holy life. And so these three things, let me hit them. Number one, prayer that is sincere, consistent, and believing. What did he say here? And whatsoever you shall ask in of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Matthew 21:22, and all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, listen, I believe this. God doesn't have to have, thank God for this, he doesn't have to have perfect Christians. But I say this a lot. And even the world, I don't think, expects us to be perfect, but they expect us to be consistent. And the one thing that I've tried to achieve in my life is consistency. Not perfection, because I'll never do it, but consistency. I want to be consistent in my prayer life. I don't want to be up and down in my prayer life. I don't want to pray one day, skip 3 days, pray for 4 days, skip 2 weeks. I don't want to do that. I want God to be able to look down and say, you know what? Listen, he may not be the most perfect person in the world, but you know what? He consistently comes to me in prayer. He consistently stays with these prayer requests. Remember, folks, the great Bible principle of importunity. The idea of just coming to God and coming to God and coming to God and coming to God. The parable of the unjust judge and the widow who would not leave him alone. And you know what? Jesus said, you know what? He just finally, because of her importunity. The parable of the man that had the unexpected visitor at night, nothing to lay before him. And you know what? A friend that didn't want to get out of bed, but he stood out there and he would not quit asking until he got the bread. And I promise you this, folks, it's not a matter of having to wear God down, but it is a matter of God basically proving whether or not we care enough about something to consistently come to God with it until we get an answer to that prayer. Now that means that you pray for those young people. You pray for the one that everybody else has given up on and you just refuse to give up. You just keep bringing the request that, you know what, you just keep bringing it and you just keep going to God. And you know what, everybody else has stopped, but you're not going to stop. Everybody else has quit, but you're not going to quit. Everybody else has given up. And you know what, God just smiles to himself and says, you know what, isn't this something? You know what, look at that. And sometimes God just tests you for a while. And God just says, I want to see if they'll be consistent in their prayer life. But be consistent in your prayers. Be not just consistent, but be sincere in your prayers. Make sure that you have pure requests. Make sure that your prayer requests aren't for to consume upon your lust. Make sure it's not for selfish reasons. Make sure that what you're praying and asking God for, it comes from a pure heart and a sincere heart. And that, you know, I always say this. You know what, folks, listen to me. You can't really go asking, believing, asking in faith if you don't have faith in your request. You see, in order to get an answer from God, you got to have faith in God. But you not only have to have faith in God, you have to have faith in your request. And sometimes what I can't be consistent praying for something if I don't have faith in that request. I want to make sure that what I'm praying for is within the will of God. I want to make sure what I'm praying for is something that God also wants. I want to make sure it's within the will of God. I think I want to make sure it's going to bring glory and honor to God. You know what? If you'll go consistently before God with prayer requests and you listen to the Holy Spirit, he'll sort through those prayer requests and make you toss out a lot of selfish things. And so make sure that you are consistent in your asking, sincere in your asking, and believing in your asking. I watch this. I expect the Lord to answer my prayers. It's not that he has to, but he's promised to. I'm not surprised when he answers my prayer. I'm surprised when I've gone quite a while and he hasn't answered a prayer. I mean that, folks. God does hear and answer our prayers. And so, number one, prayer needs to be sincere, consistent, and believing. Now, that's not going to happen if you don't have a scheduled time. It's not going to happen if you don't start the day out and you don't decide that you're going to pray. And I'm all for a prayer list and a prayer place and a prayer time. But watch this, folks. Don't turn it off. Don't turn it off. I'm also for going throughout the day and always, always praying before the Lord. And I was thinking the other day, I was thinking, what do I pray more than anything else? And this is the honest truth. You know, I don't know. And this may be good, maybe bad. I don't know. I'm just being honest with you. I don't know how many times during the day I stop and I'm facing something, or I'm stopping, I'm wrestling with something, or I'm stopped and I'm physically tired. I'm trying to figure something out. I don't seem to have the wisdom. I probably pray this prayer more than any other prayer. Lord, help me right now. Lord, help me right now. Lord, help me right now. Lord, I need your help right now. I just need your help. I just need clarity. I just need wisdom. I just need your help. I want God to understand that I am dependent upon him. I'm dependent on him. Lord, I need your help in this. I'll start to work on something and I'll think, Lord, I got to have help here. I got to know what to do here. I got to make the right decision here. I got to do the right thing here with this. And so, you know what? I think that's what Brother Peter prayed. Wasn't a real long prayer, but it worked when he started sinking. Hey, you know what our problem is? We're drowning. We don't realize it. We're drowning. We don't realize. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me. Sincere, consistent, believing, dependent upon the Lord. Number two, prayer fueled by fasting. Go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. You've read this. If you've been under Bible preaching for very long, you've heard this. And it's one of my least favorite subjects to preach on because it's one of my least favorite things to do. Can I just be transparent with you? I hate fasting. I mean, I don't like not feeding myself. I don't like going without food. You can all take a breath now. If that's the way you feel about it, you're not a wretch. You're human, okay? Most of us enjoy eating. But there is a reason. There is a purpose. And there is, listen, you want to see the increase. You want to see the unusual. You want to see the supernatural. Then, folks, one of the lost doctrines of the Bible, one of the lost practices in our Christian circles is this matter of fasting. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 15, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falls into the fire and oft into the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, saying, why could not we cast him out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. That's why I mentioned a minute ago, pray believing. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Watch this. Howbeit, this kind. You got to underline those two words, this kind, this kind. What kind? What's he talking about? Talking about miraculous things, talking about supernatural things, talking about being able to beat the devil and the demons of hell at their own game. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and what? Prayer and fasting. And folks, let me say this. The church has a history of proving this out. And your preacher, I will tell you this personally, I've a history of life of proving this out. Listen, I believe that there are some things that are very difficult, and there's some things that involve spiritual warfare, and there's some things where you're up against demonic activity. And the disciples, the Bible didn't say they didn't pray, but they didn't pray and fast. But I can tell you this, the Son of God showed up, he'd been praying and fasting. Jesus fasted oft times. He fasted oft times. He went one time 40 days and 40 nights, fasted that long. I can't even imagine such a thing, 40 days and 40 nights. I've talked to preachers that have done it. I've talked to Christians that have done it. I'm talking about that are alive today that went on a 40-day fast. And their testimony, I've never done it. Maybe I should. If I felt impressed by the Holy Spirit, I would. But I do think there's times when God wants us to go on extended fast. And I think sometimes when we're involved in spiritual warfare, you know, when Jesus was going to meet the devil out in the wilderness, he started fasting. Notice this, Fasting a lot of times is connected with supernatural activity, demonic activity. Hey, my son's a lunatic, throwing himself into the fire. He's possessed by demons. Why can't your disciples defeat this? Why won't they listen to him? Why won't they come out of him? He said, because you know what? This type of spiritual warfare, you better have not just prayer, you better understand that God expects to see something beyond that. Now, fasting, folks, watch this. There's something about just denying the flesh. When I'm weak, the Bible says, Jesus said, when I'm weak, or Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I strong? God's strong in our weakness. And sometimes God just wants us to weaken the flesh. And I think every time we weaken the flesh, we got a chance to strengthen the spirit. And I do think that there's times when, you know what, we just need to set some things aside. A lot of times in anticipation, and I would say this, in 2014, the Lord just never moved in my heart to really have kind of an all out. We had a good solid spring program, good solid fall program. Didn't really have one of those pull out the stops, what I would call a big day type thing. But I will tell you this, I've never seen God do anything miraculous where fasting wasn't involved. And if you've never fasted in your life, I would encourage you. You don't fast for no reason. You don't fast just so that you can tell people you fasted. As a matter of fact, there's warnings against that. Bible says if you're going to fast, you ought to do it privately. You ought to do it secretly. Don't appear to fast. Don't talk much. You notice I'm being pretty vague. I'm telling you, your pastor fasts. I don't want to sound as I don't give you numbers, times, events, you know. You know what? Then I'm doing it for the wrong reason. I feel like I've corrupted it. I think it's a sacred thing. I think it's part of a Christian's secret life. And there ought to be some things that are just secret. But I will say this. You know what? Fasting works. And when you're up against something, and I mean the demons of hell have targeted you or your family, your wife or your children, you know what? Do you care enough? Watch this. I always think back to that verse where Paul condemns the believers, the false believers. He said, whose God is their belly? And you know what? The honest truth is, Americans are terrible at this. Watch this. I mean, we almost worship food. And I always tell you the story about a missionary that tried to appear Russian. And so he'd work very carefully on his accent and his language and on his appearance. And I mean, he wanted to go out in public and completely 100% pass for a Russian. That was his goal during this transition. So he went out one day and he spent a day working very hard and talking to people and trying to the mannerisms, everything. And he was sitting down at a cafe and having lunch. And one of the men, a man walked up and said, you're an American, aren't you? And he said, oh, come on, man. He said, what gave me away? He said, I've tried to do everything like a Russian person. He said, Americans eat differently. He said, we eat, when we view food, we see it as fuel for our body. He said, when American eats, they see it as a recreational sport. And you know what? you can be mad at that Russian, but I think he kind of has it right. And so when we get into eating, you know, I mean, it's a big thing for us. And so God says, hey, would you lay that aside? Would you lay that aside? Would you miss a meal? Hey, young person, you say, preacher, I'll tell you, one of the burdens of my life is I've never won a soul to Christ. Maybe it's not a teenager. Maybe it's an adult. Yeah, I know, I used to be there, and boy, I got burdened about that. Had never won a soul to Christ, and God began to burden me about that. Say, when did you win your first soul to Christ? When I decided I'd start fasting over it. Amen. When I decided I'd start fasting over it. Hey, are you willing to fast to see that first hurdle, that first goal reached in your Christian life? What are you willing to give up? You willing to go hungry? Well, preacher, I don't like to be hungry. I don't either. I get cranky. I mean it. It's best when I'm fasting, just stay away from people. I'm not nice to anybody when I'm hungry. But you know what? I take that time and go aside and say, God, I just want you to see the seriousness of my heart, Lord. Would you miss a meal to see a miracle? Would you fast for a day to see God move? Would you be willing to go 5 days, 7 days if the Lord told you to, and to see something unusual happening? And there's no doubt about this. If you listen, Sunday school teacher, how burdened are you? Bus captain, how burdened are you? Hey, I'm not just going to turn it on you. Let's turn it back on me. Pastor, how burdened are you? How much do you want to see the miraculous? Deacons, how burdened are we about what's going on around here? Okay, are you thinking with me? You know, say, preacher, I don't feel like there's some things I can do. Well, you know, here's one you can do. And I want you to consider that. Think about that. Because there is something wonderful and there is something miraculous that happens when we decide to not just pray, but fast and pray. And then I mentioned this and I read the verse, but prayer from a clean life. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sin have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now, if I'm going to pray, I want it to count. Prayer's work. Prayer's labor. Read it through the Bible. Labor and prayer. If I'm going to take the time to do it, I don't want to spend an hour praying and then find out it was wasted time because, you know what, there's no use to do it because of unconfessed sin in my life. I believe that if you want to be effective in your prayer life, listen to me, you want to be effective in your prayer life, I believe that there ought to be a time of sincere confession that precedes any time of asking. And that's where you just get before God. And you know what? All time spent before God should not be prayer time. Prayer is asking. There ought to be confessing time. We've taught you these things. You know it. There ought to be time for confession. There ought to be time for praise. There ought to be time for worship and adoration. There ought to be time for intercession and supplication. But on the list, before you get to the asking part, make sure that you come before God with a clean heart. And one of the reasons that I believe it's so important to get, we're 2015. Listen, we got empty Sunday school classrooms. That bothers me. And we've got Sunday school classes that I'd like to see split. And there's new classes that need to be started. Say, preacher, what are you looking for? I want to find somebody. I don't want to find somebody that's just looking for a title. I mean, I don't want to find somebody that's just looking for a position. I want to find somebody that gets hungry to want to make a difference in young people's lives and the lives of adults. And I mean, get a burden. And I mean, take a class and pray over it and fast over it and beg God for the miraculous. And you know what I want? I want to look around Blessed Old Baptist Church and see miracle Sunday school classes and miracle bus routes. And folks, a lot of times we're so programmed to think numbers. It's not just a matter of how big it is. It's a matter of what's happening in the lives of those young people that are in that room. That's what it's about. I'm talking about getting before God and wrestling at the throne of grace for some young person that doesn't have a chance in the house that they're being raised in, doesn't have a chance in the public school that they're attending, doesn't have a chance to really make it, and yet somebody says, I'm going to stand between them and disaster. They're going to have to trot over the top of my prayers. Lord, I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to stay with this thing and stay with this kid until they become a miracle. Brother Howes used to say, I don't think there's any kid that's ever not turned out for God who had at least one adult that stood before God and would not give up on them. I kind of believe that. Why don't you be that one person for somebody? Now, listen to me. One of the things that you're going to have to understand is this. You want to see those type of things? Then you know what you got to do. You got to be willing to lift up clean hands. All right, closing illustration. I've used it before. But you know, when us boys would come in from playing all day, Mom had this phobia about us not coming to the table without washing our hands. An absolutely ridiculous phobia she had. She wanted us all to go wash our hands. Very peculiar and particular about us being washing our hands. And she knew us quite well. She would say, you need to go wash your hands. I don't mean just run water on them. I mean wash them. I mean use soap. You know, we thought if you turned the water on, splashed a little bit, wiped the mud on the dirt on the towel, that was good enough, you know. And sometimes when she suspected, and I don't know what kind of supernatural powers God give mothers, but when she was able to see through the walls of the bathroom and understand that we weren't doing this, when we would come into the dining room, she'd say, let me see your hands. She heard the water wasn't on very long. She maybe glanced in and seen the soap was strangely dry and the towel rather filthy. But she had some kind of supernatural part. She said, let me see your hands. And folks, listen to me. I want to go before God and say, God, I'm going to ask you some things. But I don't want to come to you, Lord, dirty. I don't want to come to you wrong in heart, wrong in attitude, wrong in action. Search me, oh God, no more. Listen, take some time to get clean. Take some time every day just to lift up your hands. Say, God, here's my hands. If you're seeing something I'm not, search me, oh God. Know my heart, try me, know my thought. David wrote about his secret sins. And, you know, sometimes there's things that are sins that are even secret to us until God points them out. Come on now. And sometimes I think I'm all right. I come before God and I say, Lord, if there's anything, and something I never thought of, and God points out and said, you know, you were wrong in that. You need to confess that. Your attitude was wrong in that. We can be just as wrong and just as sinful in our attitude as we are our actions. And our attitude, listen, more and more, I feel like I have to deal with that arena of my life more than I do sinful actions, sinful attitudes. I don't always have my heart right. I don't always have my head right on about things. Sometimes I react poorly towards things. And I get before God, and then I want to come and seek a miracle. And he says, well, I want to give you one too, son, but we're going to need to get back into the bathroom, use some soap and water here. We need to get a thorough scrubbing. Let's get you clean. And you know what? The good thing about just doing that every day and becoming dependent on the Lord is that you just do that every day and sometimes several times a day, that you stay clean before the Lord. I didn't say you stay perfect, but you stay clean before the Lord. And anybody that will take this simple lesson, oh, preacher, this is basic elementary stuff. Okay, I'm going to plead guilty. Why aren't we doing the basic elementary stuff? Why aren't we doing it? Why have we been saved decades and we're still not praying consistently and humbly and believing and fasting when we see that there's a supernatural activity and a supernatural attack or a barrier between us and that answer of prayer? And why is it that we treat God as if he's blind and dumb and a million miles away, snoozing on a throne, not paying attention to what we're doing? Because, folks, that is not the God that we serve. And you know what? He sees and he knows. And so let's be clean before him. Let's be clean before him. How to increase the increase? Increase your prayers. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that we would become a people of prayer. And, Lord, that we would increase our prayer life, not just in quantity, but in quality. Lord, may these Bible principles, simple Bible principles, help us as we seek, dear God, to be involved in the harvest, to be involved in the great battle for souls. What an exciting thing. Well, what an amazing warfare. What a great thing to be involved in. Lord, help us, dear Lord, as we seek out those that are lost, dear Lord. Help us to understand that you love those people more than we'll ever love them, and you want to see send a miracle more than we want to see a miracle. Help us, Lord, to learn the heart of God and obey your word so that we can see an increase of the increase. We pray these things in Jesus' name.